Welcome to Possibly, where we take on huge problems like the future of our planet and break them down into small questions with unexpected answers. I'm Megan Hall. We've used the Earth's heat as an industrial energy source for over a century, but geothermal power only plays a minor role in our energy grid. Why? And is that about to change? Here to tell us more are Charlie Adams and Albert Wu from our Possibly team.
Hi, Megan.
Hey, Megan.
When I hear geothermal, I think Old Faithful and Icelandic hot springs.
That's right. Geothermal energy comes from reservoirs of hot water below the Earth's surface, and there's lots of it, and not just in Yellowstone and Iceland.
If we took even 2% of the energy stored within the shallow crust, that would be more than 2,000 times the energy we used annually.
That's Dr. Joseph Moore, a research professor at the University of Utah's Energy and Geosciences Institute.
He says one of the best parts about geothermal is it can produce renewable 24/7 power without burning fossil fuels.
Wait, how do you get electricity from heat underground?
There are a few ways, but a typical geothermal power plant drills a mile or two underground to access reservoirs of hot water and pulls them to the surface.
As the super hot water rises and experiences lower pressure, it turns to steam, which can spin a turbine to make electricity, just like in other power plants.
So how much power do we get from geothermal?
Right now, the U.S. has 64 plants that make up 0.4% of our total electricity generation.
Why so little?
Exploration, drilling, and equipment costs are high compared to other renewables.
Also, outside of the Southwest, it's hard to find the right mix of heat close to the surface, water reservoirs, and the right type of rocks for drilling.
But advances in technology may be changing this.
How?
Enhanced geothermal systems, or EGS technology, is attracting a lot of attention.
EGS creates human-made underground fracture networks and reservoirs in places where geothermal isn't usually possible, according to Joseph.
Enhanced geothermal systems can be developed anywhere in the world.
How does the process work?
Some of these breakthroughs have come from using fracking technology.
Wait, fracking? That sounds like a problem.
While the concept is the same, EGS avoids many of the pitfalls of fracking because oil and gas aren't involved, so they don't contaminate surface water or soil.
To learn more about the differences, we spoke with Jeff Tester, a professor of sustainable energy systems at Cornell University.
He says a key difference is that when you're fracking for fossil fuels, water from the underground system has to be removed and then treated at a separate location.
That contaminated water can be disastrous if it spills, and reinjecting underground water has caused earthquakes.
But that is not the way in which a geothermal system operates, because their water is your friend, not your enemy. You're trying to circulate water through the system.
So because geothermal circulates water and doesn't have to dispose of lots of contaminated water, it's less likely to have nasty environmental side effects?
In theory, yes. But Tester says it's still important to monitor before, during, and after drilling for geothermal. This is a relatively new process, so there could be unanticipated consequences.
So how does the future look for enhanced geothermal systems?
Things are looking up. The Department of Energy has invested tens of millions of dollars in EGS.
They say EGS could unlock enough energy to power 67 million homes by 2050.
Despite all this, geothermal faces similar hurdles as other renewable energies. There's a long road ahead.
It's unlikely geothermal will become a major source of energy in the U.S. anytime soon, but it is set to play an important role in our efforts to transition away from fossil fuels.
Great. Thanks, Charlie and Albert. That's it for today. For more information or to ask a question about the way your choices affect our planet, go to thepublicsradio.org/possibly or subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Possibly is a co-production of The Publix Radio, Brown University's Institute for Environment and Society, and Brown's Climate Solutions Initiative.